I explain, look at the certain images, you can see the different postures. The hand is like this, and like this, and like this, and like this, and like this. And the meaning or the significance of these gestures, I have already explained. Tonight, there are a few more. Most of them are symbolic, the symbolical values, the significance. What is the significance of lotus flower in Buddhism? We always try to indicate that lotus flower is very close to this religion. Yes, it is true. When you read Dhammapada, the sayings of the Buddha, is very clearly mentioned, yatha sankhara dharasming ujjitasming mahapathe padumang tattva jayeta suchigandham manorama evam sankhara bhutesu andabhute puthujjane atirochati panyaya samma sambuddha savaka. So when you read Dhammapada, you can see these sayings of the Buddha. What he says, the purity and wisdom or the enlightenment of human mind lotus flower originate in a dirty place, very muddy, smelly, dirty place. The roots and the leaves and the trunk. But when the lotus bud start to develop, slowly it grows, come up and up and up and above the surface of the water. Then only open the flowers. When it is under the water, the lotus flowers never blooms or never open. So all those human beings who are dealing with worldly life by disregarding the knowledge and wisdom and understanding and spiritual development and purity of the mind, so their minds are just like the lotus bud under the water. Never open them. It must come up above the surface of the water. Although the lotus plant was originated in a dirty place, when the flower come up to that level, nice fragrance, beauty, and very colorful, and everybody love this lotus flower, but never think that this lotus flower was originated in a dirty, muddy water. So in the same way, our human body is very dirty, and the world where we live is very wicked, very cruel, but even then, there will be very few who know how to come up, how to develop their knowledge and understanding and wisdom and purity to gain enlightenment. Exactly like this lotus flower. Now, this is the relationship where the Buddha has given this comparison. Besides this, there is nothing very much for us to say. But even then, there is another, some people say it is a mythology, some others say it is true. Let it be anything. It is mentioned in our religious book. When the Buddha was born in Lumbini Garden, mother gave birth to this baby when she was standing and holding a branch of the sala tree, because she was on her way to the mother's hometown. But she could not reach home on the way. In Lumbini Garden, she gave birth to this child. Then he walked immediately after. Then seven lotus flowers sprang from the earth to receive his feet. But in one book it is mentioned he walked only seven steps, but not mention anything about the lotus flower. But in another book, it is mentioned not only he walked, but lotus flowers also received him. Now this is another significance. Of course, in every religion, Buddhism, Christianity, Hinduism, and in Islam also. But Islam does not talk very much about miracles. Hinduism, Buddhism, and Christianity, these two religions talk a lot about miracles and supernatural powers. Actually, many of those stories were narrated or created by the disciples from time to time, just to influence the devotees. Some of them are mythologies. But certain supernatural phenomena definitely have taken place. We cannot deny them. Now, another incident. Immediately after his birth, he started to talk. And people say it is difficult to believe. No, it is not impossible. There are some other amongst millions or billions, one or two, who could manage to talk immediately after giving birth. There are living examples. Therefore, we cannot deny. So what did he say, the Buddha? Aggo hamasmi lokassa, jetto hamasmi lokassa, setto hamasmi lokassa, ayamantima jati, natthidani punabhav. This is the language that they spoken language in northern India, in that part of the country, Pali language. So he had been working life after life. Nobody knows how many thousands or how many millions of previous birth he had to work to cultivate all the great virtues and the good qualities and the humane qualities, to purify his mind by eradicating all the evil, cruel, harmful, dangerous, wicked thoughts from the mind. So, this is the final birth. Everything is ready. But still, there are certain illusions or hallucinations or misconceptions are working in his mind. That means mind was not completely purified. So, he spoke this word. This is my final birth. No more rebirth for me. Because he wanted to stop this rebirth by knowing rebirth create enormous sufferings and worries and troubles and problems, and physically and mentally we are struggling day and night because of this rebirth. In the end, what do we gain? Nothing. So understanding people knows how to stop it, to reach, or to find out, to attain the final goal or the aim of life. So the aim of life is not to have repeated birth and death. That is why he said, this is my final birth. Natthi dāni punabhavo. No more becoming again. That means he was talking about rebirth. And this is the answer to certain scholars who say that the Buddha never talked about rebirth. Yes, we do agree with them. Buddha never used the word rebirth because he did not speak English. But here, he used in his own language, Pali language, natthidani puna bhava. Puna means again, bhava means becoming. Becoming again, no more. That means no more rebirth for me. I have stopped it. I am antima jati. This is my final birth. I never enter into a mother's womb again. Aggohamasmi lokasya. I will become a great teacher, master in this world. Because he knew he had been preparing, working for this, but not for his own benefit, for his own freedom, own salvation, own happiness, but to gain this enlightenment or wisdom to serve the whole mankind, not only towards the mankind, for every living beings. This is another, we can regard them as miracles, but to them they are natural. Since we cannot understand certain things, we introduce them as miracles or supernatural. But when we realize how these things can work, they become natural, no more supernatural. So this is the significance of lotus flower. Now if anybody asks, so what is the connection with Buddhism? You always try to introduce lotus flower as one of the symbols in your religion. This is what the Buddha has said. So when we develop our knowledge, purity, wisdom, enlightenment, by coming up or developing and developing and developing, although we are sitting, we are living, we are working in a dirty world, full of miseries and troubles and worries and calamities and disturbances and wicked and immoral things. In spite of all these things, wise people, understanding people, know how to cultivate their way of life. Just like that lotus flower, which is originated in a muddy, dirty, smelly place. The next one, what is the significance of Dhamma Chakra? Dharma means the law. Chakra means wheel. Dhamma Chakra, Pali. Dharma Chakra, Sanskrit. We can use either, makes no difference. Because these two languages are being used to record the Buddha's teaching. The wheel of the law. The law means dharma. And what is this law? It is not a law given by God, given by any supernatural living beings in this world. Not created by anybody, either human beings or devas or God or Brahman, or not even created by a Buddha. No one can create natural law. But we can create law. In the parliament, yes, we can enforce, we can introduce new laws from time to time, again amendments. So amendments clearly shows the law that we make are not accurate, changeable from time to time. Sometimes they had to withdraw, sometimes they had to amend. This is the nature of man-made law. On the other hand, whenever a man made any kind of law by using human mind, by using the same human mind, some others find out a loophole to violate it. This is the weakness of man-made law. They know how to violate everything. But here, we are not talking about man-made law. This is called natural phenomena, natural occurrences, that which take place in everything that which exists, whether it is life or any matters or any articles. All these existing things are subject to three characteristic nature. And this nature, or this natural phenomenon, is not created by anybody. No one can create and no one can change. The person who has explained the real nature of this law is the Buddha. But the Buddha has no authority and no power, or it is impossible for Buddha to change this law. The Buddha is also subject to the same natural law. Now we go and pray and worship to God, to the Buddhas, Bodhisattvas, Arahantas, and all sort of supernatural living beings, thinking that they can change certain things. But it is impossible for them to change the existing universal law. But they can change man-made law. Then what are these three characteristics? Universal, irrespective of their identity. Anicca, Dukkha, Anatta, Pali word. The Buddha says, if anyone can understand the real nature of these three characteristics, it is not necessary for that person to study anymore. Not necessary to read any more Buddhist book or to listen any more talk, can understand what this life is, what this world is, what this Dhamma is, can understand. That is Buddhism. It is due to lack of understanding of these three characteristics. We create our own imagination. We maintain wrong concepts. We worry and cry and fight. We develop jealousy, enmity, anger. But if we can understand these three characteristics, we never create those unhealthy mental attitudes. Because we can understand the truth or the facts or the reality or the real nature of existence. All right. What is anicca? Meaning? Anicca means not permanent. Not permanent means changeable. So whatever method we adopt to stop it, it doesn't work because we are going to work against the existing universal law, and that is called dharma. We cannot change this dharma. And this dharma is not belong to any religion. Although Buddhism explains the nature of dharma, so dharma is not a property of Buddhism, not created by the Buddha or Buddhism. That is the nature. So our duty is, whatever religion we accept, or irrespective of religion or without any religion, our duty is to understand. That is enough for us. But if you can understand the reason why, then it is very easy. We know very well, changes definitely take place. Anything. Small babies grow, then going on developing and developing and developing, physically and mentally. This is called changing. after growing and growing and growing for a certain period, that growing stopped, going this way, higher and higher and higher and higher, then stopped, then turned this way. Is there anybody who can stop this or change this? Say up to 45? Up to 45 we can go in this way, after 45 turn this way. Then, by using all sort of gadgets and vitamins and so many things, we try to maintain this. But slowly, 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 turn this way. Then, step by step, going down and down and down and down now. Now 50, 60, 70, 80, 90, 100, sudahabis. This is called dharma. Can you stop this? By praying to any god, praying to any Buddha, by taking all sort of vitamins and medicine in this world, is there anybody in this world who can stop this? Our duty is to understand this. Then how to understand? That is very important. Now let us refer to the Buddha again. He says, if anything here in this universe, not only in this world, in any part of the universe, including heaven and hell, if anything come into existence, the characteristic of that thing which existed is Uppado panyayati, vayo panyayati, thitassa anyatattham panyayati. Now this is the nature of everything that we take. What is this? We can see things appear, plants, articles, buildings, human beings, animals appear. Right. Again, we can see that which appeared after sometimes going on changing, 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 changing. Yes, we can see. After changing and changing, again we can see decaying, 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 decaying. We can see. Now this is dharma. After decaying and decaying and decaying, one day, that the visible, tangible or visible object collapse. Then dissolve, disintegrate, disappear, no more. This is the nature of everything that which exists, including heaven and hell and this world or that world, any part of the universe. And now we must try to find out the cause. Why? Why it is difficult for us to remain or maintain this without changing, without decaying, without dying, without disappearing? Why it is difficult? Why there is nobody in this universe who can do that? Although we believe immortal life, it is a daydream, my dear friend. Because of your craving, 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 you need something to remain forever without changing. Immortal life is a daydream. Life cannot become immortal. Then the reason. Why scientists and psychologists, rationalists, great thinkers and philosophers always respect, appreciate the teachings of the Buddha? Now this is the reason. Because the teachings of the Buddha is not based on belief, mythology, theories, philosophy, or not even based on the message came down from heaven. Based on this dharma, this natural phenomenon. So the explanations of the nature of the existence is called dharma or Buddhism. Intellectuals can understand this. The combinations of different kinds of elements, you know how many elements are there. The combinations of different kinds of mental energies or mental faculties, combinations of so many other cosmic energies. Now, how many factors, how many energies and elements are there? When all these things join together, they have their own magnetic power, gravity, combined together. That is called existence. Things come into existence, whether life or otherwise, because of this combination. Then what is the difference between human life, animals' life, plant life, and certain other things? In plant life, we can find all the elements. We can find all the cosmic energies. But we cannot find the four kinds of mental faculties that we human beings maintain. Therefore, we cannot accommodate plant life as fully developed life, but life is there. All the other factors are there. See the difference. Now let us take animals. Some people say animals have no mind and no soul and no spirit or this or that, because they cannot understand. Animals also have same four mental faculties, same elements, same cosmic energies. Then what is the difference between a human mind and an animal's mind? In animal's mind, the mental faculties are submerged, cannot use. They can use only little bit. Through these mental faculties, they gain instinct to recognize, to identify, to find out their living, food, shelter, experience sex, and self-preservation. Everything they do by using their mind. But their sense of reasoning, common sense, intelligence, wisdoms, understanding, not like human mind, because the mental faculties were submerged. When these animals die, in their storehouse of consciousness, still they have their own karma, but they cannot use in animal form, a little bit. Rebirth can take place after their death just because of this collective or the accumulated storehouse of consciousness that they have done during the previous birth. I see the difference between animals and humans. So, just now I mentioned, if anything come into existence, life or otherwise, must change, must decay, must die, disappear. Right? Let us go back to the scientific analysis and interpretation. How they analyze? Exactly in the same manner. When all these elements and energies that work together, friction, this friction creates a vision. Now here this is a body. You can see head and nose and mouth and body. Why these features and this body exist like this? Because of the friction of the elements and energies and the mental faculties. Then the vision appears, formations appear. In fact, in reality, this is an illusion. This is a shadow. But how many people can understand this? That is what the Buddha says. If anyone can understand this, whole dharma or Buddhism or everything can understand. Now there is no difficulty for you to understand why sicknesses take place. Why old age? Why decay? And why die? Why disappear? No difficulty. It is natural. It is dharma. And one who revealed all these things to us is the Buddha. He too had to suffer from sicknesses, suffer from old age, decay and death. But his death is not like ours. Just now I told you, he mentioned natthi dāni punabbhava, no more becoming again, no more rebirth for me. But when we die, we cannot say like that. Why? We have craving, desire, attachment toward this body, toward this life, toward this world, our property, our jewelry, our land, our houses, our children, our wife, our husband, and our enjoyments, our pleasure, all these things attachment. So it is impossible to detach. Then rebirth. Since the Buddha could manage to detach all these things, he said, no more rebirth for me. I had more than enough. I suffered more than enough. He used this word. Life after life, I suffered more than enough. Why? Because of my ignorance. Now we have ignorance because we cannot understand. We do not know why we are here in this world. It is ignorance. And we do not know why we are not happy with our life. It is ignorance. We do not know why we cannot satisfy or why we suffer in this world. That is ignorance. And we do not know what will happen to us after our death. It is ignorance. How can we say we are not ignorant? So unless we realize, until we get the answer to this question, why we are here, how we came to this world, why the formation of the situation is like this, why there are discriminations, differences, what is the cause of it? Who is responsible for that? It is due to our ignorance we blame either God or devil. It is ignorance. Because we cannot understand. If I am very ugly looking, horrible person, I feel very unhappy, then I blame either God or devil. But I have no knowledge to understand why formation has taken place like this. When others are very handsome and very pretty, why I am ugly? The answer was given by the Buddha for us to understand without blaming anybody. Why I am so stupid? And you are very intelligent. You can understand things very easily. Throughout my life I am learning, 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 still I cannot understand why it is like this. Why do I gain my things, requisite, very easily even without working for them? I can enjoy worldly life without working. Automatically I get everything. Why? Majority here in this world work day and night like slaves. Still they cannot find out even 3 meals a day. Who is responsible for that? Why this world is like this? The answer you can find in the Buddha's teaching. So, I am talking about Dhamma Chakra, totally forgot about Dhamma Chakra, talking about another chakra now. So Dhamma Chakra means the way how Buddha has explained these changes, this chakra, wheel, going round and round and round. Everything, sansara chakra, wheel of existence, the dharma chakra, wheel of the law, because there is neither beginning nor an end. You cannot find beginning of this line. You cannot find the beginning of this world. You cannot find the beginning of this law. There is no beginning. And you cannot see the end of this thing. That is why the example for you to understand. Because always people come and ask, where is the beginning? Or what is the beginning of this life? There must be a beginning. That is due to ignorance. If there is no ignorance, we cannot ask this question. Real ignorance. That man who has no religion, Bertrand Russell, one of the best philosopher in the 20th century in the West, Bertrand Russell, he is an intelligent man. He says, actually it is due to our ignorance. We ask, what is the beginning of this world? What is the beginning of this life? He can understand. The parable that I always try to introduce for you to understand this. This you cannot find in any religious book. Now, you want to find out the origin or the beginning of a river. There must be an origin, isn't it? Then you go on surveying, investigating. Where is the beginning of this river? Let us take Klang River. Then, climbing hills and rocks and jungles and here and there, you found out the origin of this river. You found out the water dripping from the bottom of a hill or rock, and slowly this water flow and flow and flow and join with so many other, water streams, also come from different direction, and later turn into a river. You found out the origin. See how clever you are. And all those religious people who talk about the beginning of life is exactly like that. They found out the beginning. Then, some others who can think deep, they say, this cannot be the beginning, origin of this river. This water is coming from somewhere else. Then they go on climbing the rocks, like Gunting Highland. Then they found out the accumulated water there on the top of the hill or the rocks dripping from the bottom. So the beginning of the river is not bottom but the top. They found out the beginning of the river. This water come from. Then realize this is nothing but rainwater. Now the origin of the river is the rain. Accepted. Then another group say, how this rainwater originated? Now this is another big problem now. Of course scientifically you can say, hydrogen and oxygen, isn't it? Even small children can understand. Sunlight or the sun rays evaporate, absorb the water from this earth. After that, mix up with the cloud. Scientifically, you know how to explain. Then drop. Again, come down to this earth as rain. The water taken from the same river, gone up and again dropped somewhere else and come back to the same river. Can you understand this? Now you know why the Buddha said everything is a wheel, no beginning. Now where is the beginning of this river now? Beginning of the river is the same river. The life, plant, elements, anything that we exist always. One depend on other. Albert Einstein is the only scientist who discovered, who explained relativity. A single object cannot exist here in this universe without depending on another object. No existence. All are in relative terms. So if one depends on the other, things are changeable. There's only two things in this universe, Albert Einstein says, that never change. What are those two things? There are two things that never change. Forgotten. Time and space never change. Because in reality, there is no time, no space. By depending on something, this is time. By depending on something, we say this is a space. But in reality, no space, no time. Supposing, if sun does not arise early morning, then how are you going to measure the time? By depending on sun, we introduce this as time. By depending on something here, we say space. In reality, no space, no time. These are the only things that never change. Because they are not things. Things means combinations of these elements and matters and energies. And now let us come back to Nirvana. What is Nirvana? Nirvana means no thing, not nothing. No thing. That means Nirvana is free from matters, elements and energies. If these things exist in Nirvana, Nirvana is not permanent. It is changeable. Subject to this universal law of impermanence. That is why we say Nirvana is permanent. A space is permanent. A space. No one can create a space. No one can destroy a space. Nirvana also exactly like this. He says there is only one thing that I can compare with Nirvana, the Buddha says. It is a space. To understand this thing, you have to use your intelligence. Not faith or belief. Understanding. Then you can understand what the Buddha said. So, the dharma means the explanations of all these existing things without either beginning or ending. Going on depending, interrelated. That is called existence. Now here, so many elements and energies and factors and known and unknown things are working. Because of this friction here inside and outside, you can see there's a figure here. When this battle inside is over, then disintegrate all the elements and energies and absorb into the same original form of energies. Elements again turn into original form of energies. Energies also turn into energies. In Mahayana Buddhist philosophy, it is mentioned, voidness, sunyata, The whole universe is nothing but voidness, shunya. It is true. Not only in Mahayana Buddhism, here in these three characteristics, still I did not explain. The Buddha says, anatta. When you analyze, there is nothing to remain as permanent entity, substance. There is no substance to remain as permanent. That is anatta. So Mahayana philosophy elaborated and developed further and further, explained this as sunyata or voidness. Alright? Let us compare with the modern scientific analysis. Albert Einstein again. They can understand things. We cannot play the fool with them. He says, when we analyze the whole world, whole universe, that we accept as earth or the water or the jungle or living beings or living things or whatever, everything in this universe, analyze into elements and energies. Then again, elements and elements and energies, we are going on analyzing, analyzing, analyzing. In the end, no world, no universe, no living beings, but only waves or vibration remain in the whole universe. This is scientific analysis. So what the Buddha has said earlier, when in reality, there is nothing to remain as permanent entity, scientifically proven by the scientists. Then the third one. I have already explained anicca, changing, 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 changing. No one can stop. It is true. We have to face, we have to learn why changes take place. Because of the friction here, elements and energies. Then I mentioned just now, when you analyze in the end, whatever imagination we maintain due to our craving, there is nothing to remain as permanent entity. You may get disappointment. But the truth is not to satisfy your craving. Remember this. You may not like the truth. Because you need something to entertain your craving. But this is the truth. Our duty is to learn it. Then the other one is more important. Dukkha. Three characteristics. What is dukkha? We say sufferings, unsatisfactoriness, unhappiness, disappointments, and hundreds and one thing we can explain. Every minute, every second, we experience some sort of unsatisfactoriness, unhappiness, disappointment, frustration, worries, miseries, fear. This is called suffering. That is mentally. Physically, sicknesses, ache, pain, old age. Because of this, unpleasant, unhealthy situations in our physical body, again we create worries. Body cannot worry. Having seen or experiencing the pain, we create worries. Let us go back to the Buddha and Arahantas. They are also not free from pain, physical pain, because their physical body is also the combinations of the same elements and energies. So the body is not holy. There is no enlightenment in the Buddha's body. Remember this. And there is no difference whatsoever in the Buddha's physical body and your physical body and my physical body. Buddha's body also smelly and dirty. He also takes bath every day. There is no difference whatsoever. He also goes to toilet every day. The Buddha is not in this physical body. Remember the advice given by the Buddha to Vakkali, one of the disciples, the monk. Of course, we know his features, complexion, serenity, appearance, very soothing. Yes, it is true. Not only Buddha, there are so many other human beings also. Very nice. So this monk every day come and sit in front of the Buddha and admire the beauty of the Buddha. Like this, you know, like watching television, you know, watching. Then the Buddha asks, Vakkali, what are you doing here every day? Then he said, actually, when I look at your features, your complexions and serenity, appearance, gives lot of happiness, console my heart. I really enjoy your beauty. See? Here you can understand the real nature of the Buddha, what he said. So in his language, he said, Kinte Vakkali imina putikayena duggandhena sarire. Vakkali, what do you gain by watching this dirty, smelly, filthy, impermanent physical body? What do you gain? Nothing. You entertain your emotion. In that emotion there is no understanding, no knowledge, no wisdom, no purity. Again he said, Yo dhammang passati, so mang passati. One who sees the dhamma, just now I explained, dhamma, what is the law? One who sees the Dhamma taught by me, explained by me, so mang passati, he can see the Buddha, real Buddha. So you can see the real Buddha through his Dhamma. Now when you realize the way how he has explained, the nature of our existence, nature of our living, why we suffer, why we are not happy, what are the causes, and how to stop, how to avoid, how to get rid of all these things, then that through this Dharma you can understand, oh, Buddha is like this. That is what the Buddha says. Real Buddha you can see through the Dharma. The Buddha sitting here is not the real Buddha. You must understand, this is our own creation. This is the artistic expression of the appearance of the Buddha figure. But we develop our attachment toward this image. That is why Zen Buddhism, those who concentrate only on meditation, strictly prohibited to keep any image, worse than Muslims. Muslims and Sikh and Jews, many others, they don't like any images against their religion. And this Zen Buddhist sects also, they hate images. It is mentioned in their teaching, Zen Buddhism, if you happen to see a wooden Buddha image cut into pieces and use as firewood and boil some water and enjoy a cup of tea. When I read this, my mind was boiling actually, you know. But later I realized why they sit like this. So until we realize, we get angry. If you happen to meet any image made out of metal, gold, melt it, make some valuable jewelry and enjoy your life, instead of worshipping that. Why? By keeping this image, we develop our attachment. Attachment toward the Buddha is against the Buddha's teaching. That is what the Buddha said vakkali just now. Why do you develop your attachment toward this physical body? You never gain anything. Try to understand the Dhamma, then you can see the Buddha. So the physical body is not important to understand the Dhamma. Again, discrimination. When you are going to erect the image, you create your Buddha image with Chinese face. When I am going to create a Buddha image, I make it a Sinhalese or Indian face. And then you say, your Buddha is better than my Buddha. I say, no, my Buddha is the original Buddha. Then we two fight. I hate your Buddha, you hate my Buddha. See, now you can understand why Zen Buddhism do not encourage. Of course, wise people, you should not get, when you go home, please don't throw away your Buddha image. Reverend say, it is useless to throw away. Wise people know how to make use of the image. I can mention one person. The former Prime Minister of India, Mr. Nehru, very intelligent man, he says, he was arrested by the British government for nearly 12 years, I think he was in the jail. He was struggling for independence and he was in the jail. He said, in the jail, there was nothing for me to console my heart, forget my worries. But very fortunately, I had a small Buddha image. Every day, I keep this small Buddha image on the table and sit down in front of the image. And I concentrate. I think. This great man, we regard him as a great man because he suffered a lot to gain this enlightenment, wisdom, understanding. But in spite of all these troubles and worries and problems and difficulties and calamities, he can maintain smiling face. He never changes face. The worldly situation, conditions cannot change his face. Always serene, smiling. I am also working to gain independence, not for my own benefit. I had to struggle. And this man also had to struggle to gain independence. Why not I follow this great man? When I made up my mind in this way by concentrating, that is real meditation on the Buddha. Worshipping is not the important thing. You can say pai 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 pai, after that you can do anything, whatever you like. You really pai the Buddha if you concentrate on that way. Why not I follow this great man? Why not I try to adjust my way of life by following his footsteps? I can forget all my worries and suffering. Then you know how to make use of the universe. That is not only for worshipping. When the Buddha was about to pass away, about to die, then the devas, brahmas, kings and the ministers and all sort of big bhikshot, taukes, came with lot of flowers and bouquets and this and that. Then Ananda, his disciple, came and told him, all those great people are waiting outside to come and pay their respect to the Buddha. Knowing that Buddha is going to die, so what did the Buddha say? Ananda, can't you understand? For the last 45 years, I told all of you, if anybody who really want to respect the Buddha, they can respect by following the advice given by me, not by offering flowers and worshipping. If they really want to respect the Buddha, let them practice the advice that I have given to them. Now you can understand who the real Buddha is. He is not waiting to receive your pai pai. He is not waiting to receive your orange and milk and joss sticks and candle. If the Buddha is alive today, he has you throw away all these rubbish. Who asked you to bring all these things? I never ask you to do all these things. I want you to be good human being. I want you to be honest and kind and understanding people. Then you respect me. This is the Buddha's way of teaching. What are we doing today? By keeping these images, we are fighting. So, I think I have not completed. What is it? Dukkha. Yes, you are not yet complete. This is very important. Why we cannot satisfy with this physical body? Why dukkha? Why suffering? Why unhappiness? Although we have everything. Now look at in those countries where people had more than enough property, scientific education. They have become very cruel, very cunning, very dangerous human being. Very unhappy, commit suicide, go mad. Where is the mistake? That is called dukkha. What is the cause of it? Just now I mentioned the formations of this physical body and the mental faculties. Although I raise my hand up to here, it is a habit to show that the mind is here. Actually, mind is not here, you know. But naturally, when we talk about mind, our hand naturally goes here. For thousands of years, we believe mind is here. It is not here. So, the friction, imbalance, elements and elements, energies and energy, and the mental faculties and energy. When this friction, clashes take place here in the physical body and in the brain or the mind or the heart, we have to suffer. Sufferings take place because of this. So it is not because of the original sin that someone has eaten an apple long, long ago, and we are also suffering today because of that. We are not ready to accept this kind of thing. So scientifically or according to the Buddha's explanation, unsatisfactoriness always takes place in between. Please listen what I am going to tell you. Impermanency of existing thing and our craving that we develop towards that. Understand now? We want things to remain without changing. We want to remain forever as young people. We want to maintain our beauty and complexion. We want to be rich always. We want to live without dying. That means we have not trained our mind to face this natural dharma, natural occurrences, natural incidents. The sufferings take place because of this. Unsatisfactoriness, unhappiness, disappointment, all these things take place because of this. Our craving and attachment towards certain things which are changeable. But our mind, in our mind we change, we keep the idea that I want to keep this, I won't, don't want to change this. Then suffering takes place. Take an example, a young girl or a young boy, very handsome, definitely like to remain exactly like this without any change. But after 30, 40, 50, then you can see how changes take place. Wrinkles and hair dropping and grey hairs, toothache and this and that. Then worry. Why this worry appear in the mind? Because they have not trained their mind to face this natural dharma, natural occurrence. They want to maintain this forever without allowing these things to change. The advice given by the Buddha for us to contemplate from the very beginning of our life to avoid this worry. I am not free from sicknesses. I am not free from old age. I am not free from changes. I am not free from death. Go on contemplating, thinking, meditating, meditating, meditating. When those things come to us at that time, we never worry. Because we knew, we train our mind to face them earlier. This is Dhamma, this is Buddhism. Don't go and pray, I don't want to grow old, please Buddha help me to remain as young. You are going against the Dharma. So I have already explained the three characteristics, anicca, dukkha, anatta, changing, unsatisfactoriness, nothing to remain as permanent entity in the end, everything dissolve, disintegrate. This is the nature of existence. So all these things joined together is a wheel, is a chakra, that is called wheel of the law. So this Dharma chakra, there are so many other things. This one. Another, when you look at the wheel, you can see four of them. Four noble truths. The original Dharma chakra wheel in India indicated only these four. Dukkha, life, create unhappiness, misery, suffering. Samudaya, there is a cause for this suffering. Dukkha, samudaya. Nirodha, although suffering is there, we will be able to get rid of this freedom. Magga, there is a method for us to practice to see the end of all our suffering. Dukkha, samudaya, nirodha, magga, make as a wheel. Another one, eight. You can see eight. Here you haven't got, isn't it? No. Eight noble paths. Eight noble paths සම්මාදිට්ඨි සම්මා සංකප්ප සම්මා වාචා සම්මා කම්මන්ත සම්මා ආජීව සම්මා වායාම සම්මා සති සම්මා සමාධි. 8 noble way of life. That means how to train our mind to maintain purity, how to use our mouth to talk gently, and how to do things without making mistakes. Sila, Samadhi, Panya, summarized into 3. 8 noble paths, indicated as 8 forms. This we have to cultivate until we attain our final goal. This is the method introduced by the Buddha. Again, 12. There are so many. Dhamma Chakra, when you study, there are 12 forks. Paticca Samuppada, the wheel of existence. Avijja Paccaya, Sankhara, Sankhara Paccaya, Vinyanam, Vinyana Paccaya, Namarupam, Namarupa Paccaya, Salayatanam, Salayatana Paccaya, Phasso, Pasapatya, Vedana, Vedana Patya, Tanna, Tanna Patya, Upadanam, Upadana Patya, Bhava, Bhava Patya, Jati, Jati Patya, Jara, Maranam, Soka, Parideva, Dukkha, Domanas, Upayas. All summarized into 12. Wheel of existence. One round of existence. Start from the previous birth. The consciousness that we accumulated during the previous birth with ignorance, and that departed consciousness entered into mother's womb. Avijja Paccaya Sankhara. Then in that consciousness there are good karma and bad karma. We are doing, every day we are collecting all these things. So when this consciousness entered into the mother's womb, in that consciousness, good karma, bad karma and ignorance, these ingredients are there. Then the formations of this life take place according to the gravity or the degrees of good karma and bad karma. That is how discrimination, differences, ugliness, beauty, intelligence, all these differences take place. There is no God behind, there is no devil behind, our own consciousness. I don't think enough time for me to go one round. 12. Ling, come one after the other, one up, going on, developing, 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 developing. In the end, 12th one. Jara, marana, soka, parideva, dukkha, domanasa, upaya. Then in the end we experience decay, death. Because of these two things, decaying and death, we worry, we cry, we lament, we complain, we accuse, we blame. This is also another way. So 12 here. This is the meaning of Dharma Chakra. All these are very meaningful, significant religious symbols. There are many dharma that we can learn. So next Friday, I have to explain. Unfortunately, I could not bring this blackboard, you know, to draw this, then easy for you to understand. Don't forget next Friday. I have to explain the meaning of pagoda. Why we build this pagoda like this? What is the religious significance? Next one, the Bodhi tree. What is the significance? Why do we worship trees? Then the next one, swastika. What is, whether there is any religious connections or significance in swastika. Next one, what is the significance of eight spokes? Wheel, the same thing, Dhamma Chakra. What is the origin of the flag, Buddhist flag? So 4 items next Friday. For our general knowledge, these things are very important to understand. Okay, exactly 1.5 hours. ආකාසත්තා චුම්මත්තා දේවා නාග මහිද්దికා පුඤ්ඤන්තං අනුමෝදිත්වා චිරං රක්ඛන්තු ලෝක සාසනං ඉත්තාවතා ච අම්මේහි සම්බතං පුඤ්ඤ සම්පතං සබ්බේ දේවා නුමෝදන්තු සබ්බ සම්පත්ති සිද්ධියා දේවෝ අස්සතු කාලේන සස්ස සම්පත්ති හේතු ච පීතෝ භවතු ලෝකෝ ච රාජා භවතු ධම්මිකෝ ඉදං වූ ඥාතීනං හෝතු සුඛිතා හුන්තු ඥාතයෝ ඉමිනා පුඤ්ඤ කම්මේන මාමේ බාල සමාගමෝ සතං සමාගමෝ හෝතු යාව නිබ්බාන පත්තියා The last one, what I recite every Friday, is our aspiration. This is very important, our aim of performing all our religious activities and meritorious deeds. Imina punya kammena, by the virtues or the good qualities or the grace of all the good deeds, meritorious deeds that we are performing. Now for more 1.5 hours, you have been concentrating, listening, thinking, all these are meritorious deeds. You have not wasted your time. Then, by the power of these merits, may I get the chance to continue my noble way of life without joining with bad companion, bad people who influence us to be bad until I attain our final goal, Nirvana. So that inspiration is very important for us to carry on, to maintain our noble way of life. Thank you.